Thanks, Simon. Great. Lovely to see you all this afternoon and welcome if you've come in before we started today. How are we all today? Thumbs up, thumbs down? No thumbs, okay. I'm not sure what that means. That's great. So today we're going to continue with our theme, and we're going to be looking at this up until we go to camp. What does wellbeing look like in the kingdom of God? And it's a bit of a buzzword out there in the community. Everyone's about wellbeing. So it's helpful for us to think, well, what does it look like for us as Christians, as new creations? And so last week I was trying to cover a lot of ground to build a bit of a foundation. Pretty content heavy, interesting, but content heavy. I hope you were able to listen to it if you haven't yet, to help us to pave the way for what I'm going to talk about today. And other people will be coming in the next coming weeks to talk about different aspects of spirituality and all sorts of things as well, moving on to other things. So I just wanted to also give a bit of a broad brushstroke of some of what we talked about last week to then go on and then flesh it out to see what does it look like in our everyday. So to be to have well-being, we're looking at what it means to be emotionally healthy. And what we talked about was that to be spiritually mature, and we all want to be that, we also need to be emotionally healthy. Both need to be happening. As new creations, Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify, purify and cleanse you. It's a process to cleanse you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless without fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus. So, great communion, you know, God is generous. He's given us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We have it all. As new creations, we have it all. So why do we have to talk about being okay? It's because we need to now flesh out, bring to earth what we already have in the heavenly places, flesh it out in our day-to-day, in our life. And Paul is saying, yes, you need to, all of you needs to be sanctified. Your whole spirit, your soul, which is your will and emotions, or your choices, your thoughts, your thinking, your body, everything. So what does that look like? And it's important that we acknowledge and not forget that God wants all of us, all every part of us, to be purified and be without fault. And it's important that who we are on the outside, and Scripture says that man likes to look at the external side of things in 1 Samuel, but God is looking at the heart. So what we look like to other people when we're out in public, we might be all smiles, yeah, fine. Go home and we get upset about everything. The people we live with definitely don't see the fine. That we might want to portray to other people. So God doesn't want us to, there's a gap between what's on the outside and what's inside, the Bible calls that hypocrisy, which means actually play acting. And we can, act away, make it seem like everything's okay when really our inner world can be in turmoil. And sometimes we're not even sure why, but we know something's not quite right. We're not really sure maybe even what to do with that. And when Jesus came, he talked a lot to the Pharisees and was really looking at the heart. What's going on in your inner world matters to God, and it certainly mattered to Jesus. This is a great image too of the iceberg. The most of the iceberg is the stuff we don't see. And it's the stuff we don't see that can shipwreck our lives. And sometimes, it's the motivations, it's our passions, the things that sometimes we're not even aware of. Maybe it can be brokenness and trauma. and we don't even not really even aware about the brokenness that we have. But people will tell us, or we can see in our relationships, that sometimes we're going along okay and then snap, we're set off. Something's triggered us. And that can be a sign that maybe there's something there. So what's underneath that stuff, the stuff we can't see, isn't always your fault. Sometimes people have done stuff to you. And then later on in life, fear can come in, or anxiety or stuff, and you've got it all on the inside. No one can really see it, but it's bubbling away. And it's that part of the iceberg of our life that God wants to address that. He's generous, as Simon says. He wants all of us, or every part of us, to be whole. From Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Everything we do flows out of what's inside. We can only minister out of who we are. You know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we're harbouring is really important. Do you want to minister and serve God and serve others for God? Well, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? Many of us are self-conscious, but not always self-aware. And it's something we need to be intentional and deliberate about to address these things. When we read Jesus in the scriptures, he expressed the full range of emotion. He was in touch with his emotions and didn't hold back about expressing that. He did it appropriately. He's always our best role model. So emotions aren't bad. They actually bring colour to our lives. But our emotions, like every other part of us, need to be sanctified, need to be brought into alignment with God's will and purposes for us. So some of what emotional health looks like, we went through these. I'm just going to click them up on the screen again today. So being self-aware, being aware of what our feelings are. You know, when we're feeling disturbed, maybe we need to work out what that is. Is it anxiety? Is it fear? What's going on? Is it anger? I won't go there. It was going to be another marriage story, but I thought, I'll leave that one. I've got other stories to come. Being other aware, you know, what are the needs of other people? Do you step into that? Are you aware? Are you able to step into meaningful relationships, maintain them? Being able to break free from destructive patterns in your life. Realising that what's happened in the past impacts you right now. The power of what's happened in the past. Being able to clearly express your thoughts and feelings to others rather than bottling it all inside and then one day you explode. You're able to actually express what you're thinking and feeling. Respecting others and not having to change them. Asking clearly, directly and respectfully for what you want rather than, again, ignoring what you want and then feeling, you know, that you've been ripped off because no one really cares about what you want. An accurate self-assessment. What are your strengths and what are your limitations? Conflict resolution and solution. That's always a big one. Appropriately express sexuality and sensuality, and acknowledging grief and doing that well. So to sum up what last week was about, basically, emotional health and spirituality, which refers to our ongoing, wonderful, intimate, authentic, growing relationship with God, those together is very powerful because it gets to unleash the Holy Spirit inside us in order that we might know experientially, actually experience it, and the power of an authentic life in Christ. So very powerful. Wonderful, all of us in alignment with God. So I want to look at a couple of areas today out of what we just saw. And the first one, which I see is often an issue or can be, to work on, and it's certainly one for me. Accurately self-assessment of our strengths, our limits, and our weaknesses. So why don't you picture with me? This lovely young woman comes up to you. She's got three children under the age of five. She's looking desperate. And she says to you, I'm really strapped for cash. I'm not sure how I'm going to pay my rent, my kids. I don't know, not sure how I'm going to feed them this week. You go see her home. It's all a bit of a mess. The kids don't look that great. But you also realise she's actually been in this place before. In fact, last year she did the same thing. Someone else bailed her out with money. So what do you do? What's your first thoughts when you hear a story like that? Well, you feel compassion, don't you? This poor, poor girl. Surely is the Christian call to have compassion and want to help someone, and that's exactly right. But sometimes I just want to challenge that thought, and it can come in a variety of ways too. You know, even in little things, friends might call you up, hey, let's catch up this week. They might be a non-Christian. You think, great, great opportunity to reach out and connect with this person. But what we also need to also think about, what is my capacity? What else have I got on this week? Where am I at? What are my energy levels like right now? What are my other commitments this week that I've already said yes to? Sometimes we can say yes and then very soon find that we've overextended ourselves. Can anyone ever relate to that? Yes. Okay, good. You overextend yourself. Actually, I've had a dream about this last Sunday, overextending myself. Then I didn't really care for myself. And then the people that were closest to me didn't get any of my time. And it doesn't work. So what do we do about that? Sometimes we need to prioritise and say no, even to the good things that present to us. And I always like to go back and look at Jesus. What did he do? Because he's our perfect role model as a human. He lived the perfect human life. And Jesus had limitations and he paid heed to them. In Mark, and it's quite extraordinary, Mark 6, 45, 46, Jesus is in the midst of amazing ministry, like the momentum is going. He's on fire and everyone's wanting to hear from him. But what 6:45 says after he's been ministering, 6:45 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Now, after this, he was going to go straight back into full-on ministry. I think some of us, if we start getting like, oh, wow, everyone's really got it. There's a real flow of the Spirit here. Who'd want to stop? But he does. In fact, he's very intentional about it because he actually makes his disciples, you go now, go now in the boat. And he dismisses the crowds. He says, okay, it's been great, but we're done for now. More later, see you later. And he goes. How amazing. I mean, that's really being able to express what you think and feel and be able to do that. Be assertive, know how you're made. Okay, I need time out now. See ya. It's been great. We'll do it again, but not now. I love that. God knows how we're made. Jesus is God. He knows how we're made. We're not robots. Sometimes I've tried to be superwoman. I've realised I'm actually not. Great shock. But anyway, we do need to know our limitations and make an accurate self-assessment. It's really important we know what our capacity is. And it does change. We have seasons. You know, my capacity right now is different than what it was 20 years ago. And my capacity is different to someone else's capacity. Don't compare. You know, it's okay. Be okay with who you are right now. Don't bring yourself down because, oh, he or she's doing so much. Oh, I feel like I only do this little bit. Well, do your little bit 100%. Let them do what they need to do and be okay about that. Jesus was. So, obviously we can, you know. So talk to God about what you can do and what you shouldn't do as well. You know, we do need heavenly wisdom about these things. Be led in his peace. If you're feeling like, I'm not sure about this, I think you might need to talk to God about that and maybe readdress what's going on. Romans 12:3 is great. It puts Paul says about assessing ourselves soberly. You know, think of yourself soberly, not too highly, not too lowly. Be realistic about who you are, what you can actually do. Interestingly too, Jesus didn't respond to everyone. Everyone who came to him for healing, absolutely. But he didn't respond to everyone. Because he said, didn't he, in John 5:19, I only do what I see my Father doing. Oh, okay. So he doesn't do everything, all right. But what does that look like? How do I know? What do I know? You know, because in your normal everyday, and in your normal everyday, you're wanting to hear from God, you love God, you've already said that to him, you've woken up with Jesus, said, whatever you want to do, Jesus, I'm on with that. And you go about your day, and you'll find that at different points, ooh, something's different about this conversation right now. I feel God's doing something. Great. Start to learn what that feels like. Step into that and ask a bit more of a probing question. I was really encouraged talking to Simone recently. She's a very inspiring person. You should talk to her. She, in her nursing, like she's surrounded by people who need help every day. Oh, every day. Surely everyone needs me right now, Jesus, in a really special way. Well, you're going to care for them, yes, but sometimes you'll hear me. And Simone has had some wonderful opportunities where, oh, something's different about this patient. And she's stepped into that and actually been able to bring life, talk about Jesus to people in moments that she couldn't have planned that. So we don't need to stress out, oh, God, use me, use me, use me. He's going to use you. It's okay. Just relax. Just relax. Walk in his peace, in his joy. That's who you are as kingdom people. You have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Revel in that. Revel in the fullness of that. That's who you are. And as you do that, Holy Spirit will highlight things to you. It won't be hard. If it's hard, then it's probably a bit of you striving in that. And he'll do beautiful things. So let him do that. The other great thing to recognise is that Jesus was not a people pleaser. And we all want people to love us. I want people to love me. I just assume everyone does until they tell me otherwise. But, you know, we want... Yes. Thank you. See? It just keeps coming. Yes. But... We need to discern what the Holy Spirit is doing and how he's leading us. So Jesus did not run after everyone. In John 6, oh, this, I've got this up here. In John 6:66, got to be wary about this. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. So this was after Jesus was talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. Oh, that's too hard, Jesus. Some left. The next verse doesn't say, and Jesus ran after them. He let them walk away. Wow. He let people walk away. Jesus recognised that people have a choice and he lets people make that choice. That's the scary part about God. He's so gracious, he lets us make a choice. That's a bit too mind-blowing sometimes for me. Wow. He's come to heal and restore, but he won't force it on anyone. He won't force it on us. He won't force us to walk in the fullness that we have and walk in the real identity of who we are. We get to choose to do that every day, walking in obedience, walking by faith, walking in holiness. That's what we need to choose to do. So as his people then, it is important that we do let people know the restorative capacity that they can experience in God, but then the choice is theirs. We do need to make sure we've made that clear, but the choice is there. We need to know our limitations and not try to do what the Holy Spirit's role is. It's his role to convict. It's his role to change and bring transformation. We can't do that. But we can demonstrate what fullness of life looks like, and we can invite people into it, and then the choice is theirs. Jesus, God is so good, and he has given us what we need. The other thing I wanted to look at today was breaking destructive patterns in our life. This week in social media, every so often it comes up, pornography came up again. Losing our boys, it had. Young men easily fall into pornography, take it in throughout their lives, and then men, pastors, are still grappling with pornography. When they get tired, they find themselves falling back into it again. And it just distorts their whole understanding of women and sex and the appropriateness of how to express sexuality, all of that. But in my experience, pornography isn't just, a problem for boys. It's also a problem for girls. And I've seen that in my, pastoral work and chaplaincy. It hits everyone. And for some of you might have heard a bit of my story before, but when I was about 10 or 11, I was greatly impacted by pornography. My dad, beautiful dad, but for some reason, he had pornographic magazines in our back shed. I discovered them. And I couldn't help myself but keep, it's addictive, I couldn't help but keep looking at them. And it had a great impact on me. Later on in life, when I started university and there was a lot of, access to everything, and when I was 19, God, it was almost like he shouted across the heavens and into my heart, enough, and he just picked me up out of the muck and the mire of my sin, and it showed me that there was something else, had no idea what it was, but it set me on the path to find out who Jesus is and that he wanted to be Lord of my life. So pornography is very powerful, and it's really important that we understand, Paul says, do not be unaware of the devil's schemes. The devil, our community, the media is so sexualized. And there's a reason for that, because sexuality has to do with our identity and our relationships, beautiful things that are given to us by God, and everything that's beautiful to God, Satan wants to totally distort, destroy. When the Lord cleaned me up, he really wants us to clean up our act in every area of our life. So he was really cleaning me up, and I came across this passage. But among you, there should not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of sin or of any kind of impurity, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking. So when I read that, I said, not even a hint? A hint? I mean, that's a hint. No, Maria, not even a hint. Not even like a little wink, like oh, a little smile at probably the wrong time, but just, a little bit of fun, a little bit of an innuendo. No, not even a hint. Nothing. He wants you to be squeaky clean, squeaky clean. And I remember then I really became squeaky clean. So, as a Christian young woman at church, going out with one of the Christian boys, if he even looked at me in the wrong way, I'd be like, what do you think you're doing? I remember a girl, she was talking to me about, she was always brought up as a Christian, and divulged to me that, oh, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going out with this boy. I think I might just let things go a little bit further. And I went, you don't know that you're playing with fire. And I, because you are. Would you want to go play with fire and see what that's like? Just to try and have a bit, just to see? No. You wouldn't, would you? Because you'd have skin grafts, you'd have multiple surgeries, it'd be painful. So you're not going to do that. So the things that Satan puts out, they are fire. You run and you flee. I was thinking about this, and today the Lord said, you know, at Christmas time, you know, as parents, you wrap up all the presents and you hide them in the house because you don't want your children to find them, to shake them, just to see what they're like. No, you want to bring them out on Christmas Day when they get to open them up at the right time, and it's wonderful we all get to celebrate together. And the whole thing about sex and, sex really, it's a beautiful gift. God created it. God created sex. There's nothing to be ashamed about. It's a beautiful gift from God. But there is a right timing. There's a right timing for that. And he's our perfect parent. So we need to trust his timing. It'll be okay. Trust his timing. The other issue is that sometimes we can be a bit curious. Carnal curiosity. The flesh is wanting to find out. I don't really know about sex. Maybe if I just find out a little bit. Everyone's talking about this terrible thing, pornography. I'll just have one look. No. One look. Satan knows how to get us. Subtly. Very subtle. Oh, one look. Won't matter. Yeah. And before you know it, you can't stop. Happens very easily. It happens often. So I just want to warn you about that. You might be hearing about it today and think, oh, no. Trust God's timing with his beautiful gifts that he gives us, because he is beautiful and he is God. Also be aware. God also told me, actually at a Wimber conference, John Wimber, who's the founder of Vineyard, lovely man, he talked about demonization, demonic influences. And in that conference, he whispered to me, he said, Maria, he said, you know that through pornography, a spirit of lust was able to enter in, and that's what was causing havoc for you before he plucked me out of the muck and the mire that I found myself in. And I was gloriously happy in the muck and the mire, mind you, because you're blind. You don't know that it's wrong. You think life's a party. You can't see it. But God knew, and he knew better. Demonic influence comes only if we allow it, because demons are legalists. They can only come and impact us if it's allowed. But it can happen. It happens to, not because we've necessarily allowed it, but someone's done something to us. It's all subconscious to us. But something's happened where they've been able to get a foothold. Let me just put this one up here. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So if we choose not to be in control of our emotions and passions, and in this case anger, we can make room for the demonic. And as I said, this can happen without us being aware. But Paul also says, let us be aware of the devil's schemes. Great. So we don't want to make room for the enemy. We want to make room for Jesus, don't we? That's what we've been talking about. So today is an opportunity. We've invited the Holy Spirit in. Today is an opportunity to confess, repent, give God full reign. God is beautiful and good. He doesn't condemn us, but he's always inviting us to greater life and flourishing in him. So know that this is a safe place today for you to do business with God if that's what needs to happen. It might not be about some of the things I've talked about. It might be something else that God's brought to mind today. But the invitation is for us today to come to our loving Father as children. We're his little children, and submit to his perfect care because we're safe in his hands. Thank you, Lord. So it'd be great if the worship team could just come and lead us. I'll just pray as they come. Holy Spirit, we just thank you. Thank you for the generosity of God, the fullness of life. There's always more, abounding in goodness and purity and joy. Lord, we want more. We want all there is. So, Lord, come and have your way with us this afternoon. Thank you, Lord. Speak to our inner being with your love in the name of Jesus. Amen.